Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. More extreme and antiquated sanctions have been put on North Korea by the United Nations Security Council. The UN says it wants to stop Pyongyang from its nuclear tests. North Korea says the weapons are its only deterrence from a very aggressive United States. Stay with us as we take a look at this latest situation between North Korea and the United States.
North Korea's foreign ministry has reacted to the sanctions that were unanimously approved by the UN Security Council on Friday. The sanctions heavily restrict supplies of crude oil and its refined products to the East Asian country. The restrictions were imposed in response to North Korea's test of a new intercontinental ballistic missile on November 29th that Pyongyang claims to be capable of reaching the U.S. mainland. North Korea's foreign ministry said in a statement that it considers the sanctions a violent breach of its sovereignty.
"We define this sanctions resolution rigged up by the U.S. and its followers as a grave infringement upon the sovereignty of our republic and an act of war violating peace and stability in the Korean Peninsula and the region, and categorically reject the resolution."
North Korea added that the sanctions are the harshest ever against the country and amount to a complete economic blockade. Pyongyang said this will not prevent it from developing its deterrence, including its nuclear weapons program to defend against the nuclear threat and other hostile moves by the U.S. U.S. President Donald Trump has time and again threatened to nuke North Korea and has allowed nuclear-capable bombers to fly along the country's borders. The U.S. also stages joint war games with North Korea's regional foes, Japan and South Korea, leading to heightened tensions with Pyongyang. Washington has so far ignored calls by North Korea, China and Russia to take steps towards de-escalating tensions by limiting the military drills.
"They always offer the stick and never the carrot. There's nothing, no concessions made by the United States. They're not talking about ending the war games, which are mock invasions in North Korea, and they're not communicating very well. So it's hard for North Korea to understand what the United States wants when the Secretary of State saying we're willing to talk and negotiate with no preconditions, which they were saying as recently as 2 weeks ago. And now it's back to tighter sanctions through the UN and Donald Trump making his normal threats on Twitter and so on."
It is also believed that the U.S. has never wanted to ease tensions with North Korea as a tense Korean peninsula benefits Washington.
"The U.S. is using North Korea as a pretext to sell billions of dollars worth of equipment to South Korea and Japan and have an excuse to be in the South China Sea, supposedly for North Korea. But we all know those radars from THAAD are pointed at China and Russia. We all know that this arms export is good for its own financial interests. It has nothing to do with North Korea."
China and Russia voted for the new sanctions on North Korea on Friday in a strong show of disapproval for Pyongyang's military development, but they appear more concerned about the U.S. military presence in the region under the pretext of tackling North Korea. They have openly described as a threat the U.S. deployment of THAAD anti-missile system that can also be used against China and Russia.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Washington, D.C., former U.S. diplomat in Saudi Arabia, Mr. Michael Springman, and also out of Washington, D.C., another former American diplomat, Mr. Edward Pigg. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in D.C. with Mr. Edward Pigg. The whole U.N. Security Council now has decided to increase sanctions against North Korea. Why is that the case? Is it that each member is in total agreement with the United States? Or tell me, how do you see it?
I'm having a little trouble hearing. Could you raise the volume just a bit?
Okay. Hopefully, the control booth will raise the volume of that, and I will repeat the question for Mr. Edward Pigg. Basically, I'm talking about that the whole UN Security Council was in agreement to increase the sanctions against North Korea. Why is that the case, one? And two, does it mean that they're all in line with the United States in dealing with Pyongyang?
Well, it certainly appears that way, partly because they recognize that this is a serious problem not only in Asia, but globally with the success that the North Koreans have allegedly had in developing nuclear weapons, which they insist, of course, that they're only going to use in their own self-defense, but it's also for use in its own self-interests. And this concerns America, and I think just about every other nation in the world that's aware of the problem.
Well, how do you see it, Mr. Springman? Of course, no one wants any entity to use nuclear weapons or test nuclear weapons, but the North Koreans are saying that they basically have no choice, but they have to have some kind of deterrence against the Americans. Your take on that?
Well, my take is basically that the North Koreans have watched what happened to Iraq, what happened to Libya, what happened to Syria, and what the Americans keep talking about doing to Iran. And at the bottom line of most of these countries, they had nuclear power and in some instances had been working on nuclear weapons or were considering working on nuclear weapons. And the North Koreans obviously fear for their own selves and are at the sharp end of the American sword. The Americans have surrounded the country with two attack carrier groups with more than 100 aircraft. There are American bases with more aircraft in South Korea and Japan. And there are many thousands of American soldiers in South Korea. So I think the North Koreans are right to be worried. And if they didn't have nuclear weapons, they are sure going to be pushing hard for them and some means of delivery to protect themselves from this attack on their country by the United States of America. In 2015, the North Korean gross domestic product per capita was $1,700 United States dollars. At the same time in the United States, it was more than $56,000. The North Koreans live on government rations and subsidies, and it is a very cold winter usually in North Korea with many crop failures. And the Americans and their allies in the United Nations are pushing hard to reduce the minimal standard of living of the North Koreans. So if I were a Korean, I certainly would want something to equalize myself with the Americans and with the Americans' weapons and the Americans' economy.
Okay, what about that, Edward Peck? I mean, it appears that, as our other guest said, he gave the example of Libya. We have seen what has happened to countries that have decided not to fight back, or basically they've had their air traffic controlled. Or we have seen what they tried to do in Syria. They wanted them to turn in all their weapons, and so many situations like that. Isn't it that the North Koreans are basically being backed up into a corner, that there is no other choice but to go ahead with their nuclear tests?
Well, there are certainly many people in the world who have reasons to question or to raise the same question that you just have, because America has behaved in what it believes serves the interests of the world by attacking nations. And so North Korea, which has already experienced, although some years ago, what America is capable of doing and is willing to do in the we attacked them very harshly in the Korean War days. So there is some justification, but not to the extent to which they have gone, making it very clear, or relatively clear, I should say, that one of their intentions is to fix it so that the United States would never dare to attack them.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't that be? Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Peck. Why wouldn't that be okay? If you're being threatened by the superpower, there are maneuvers there, right there on your borders. They're doing. They have the airplanes, the bombers, practicing right there constantly. And of course, we know that there's not like language of diplomacy coming out of Washington D.C. Why wouldn't you, if you're North Korea, why wouldn't you go ahead with it? It seems to be that it's their only option. Otherwise, the United States is doing whatever they want to do to them anyway. So most entities like this would feel like there's nothing else. We have nothing else to lose. How do you see that side of things?
Yes, I'm perfectly able to see it and understand it, just as you've expressed it. But there's also an element of danger in doing what North Korea has been doing for a long time.
Uh-huh, okay.
Its relationships with South Korea, which is our ally, have been rather aggressive, more than rather aggressive. They've been threatening, and they have sounded always highly militaristic.
Mm-hmm.
So America's basic aim was to get them to stop doing that, which switched us into first place as a potential enemy.
Okay.
Which has generated what it is they're doing, as you accurately described.
What about that Michael Springman? Edward Peck said it makes them sound very militaristic, but the United States is totally militaristic. I just want to see your side of things. What's your perspective? What can an entity like North Korea do? They had said that they were willing to sit down, they were willing to talk, and we have these differences in perspective from the U.S. administration. On one hand, they say that they will sit down and talk, and then the next second, it's everything else is null and void. So what choice do they have in your perspective?
Well, in my view, I don't think they have much of a choice.
Diplomat.
They have been backed into a corner by the most powerful country in the world as far as economics and weapons go. And this small country, a little bit larger than the American state of Virginia, is really in miserable shape. They've cut their fuel supply off. They don't want any country to trade with them. And they want to have the countries with North Korean workers to pack them off and send them home so they can't earn foreign exchange for their country. And you've got China very much concerned about a wave of Korean refugees coming across the border if North Korea collapses internally. And they're very much concerned about having the American bases in Japan and in Korea and naval groups augmented and by a good deal to try and make up for this destabilized North Korea with no idea of what will happen once the country collapses. You may have a broken VACT attack by their nuclear forces after all. I think that offering the carrot instead of the stick and negotiations without preconditions, as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson had formally recommended, mm-hmm. would be the way to go.
Okay.
But the American government somehow doesn't recognize what its own interests are and can't recognize what other countries' interests are and find a way to reconcile them. I mean, it's the basic problem of the Department of State.
All right. Stay with me. So sorry to interrupt you. Stay with me, Michael Springman and Edward Peck. I'm going to cross over to our Facebook wall and see what our viewers have had to say about this subject.
Can anybody point at any substantial provocation by North Korea? What have they really done to deserve the sanctions? Kim Jong is drunk with power. He executed his cabinet at will. His countrymen and women are living in fear. Kim Jong-un will pay a price worse than Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. So the West hasn't yet figured out that sanctions aren't working. They're just going to choke innocent North Korean citizens, including women and children, of hunger. Why is Trump trembling over North Korea being a nuclear country? North Korea will get whatever she wants. If the U.S. can develop nuclear weapons, why not others?
Now you've heard some of the comments by our viewers. What about that, Edward Peck? At the end of the day, is there really a whole lot that the international community can do to stop North Korea besides sanctions?
Well, sanctions are tricky things. Oh, pardon me.
Yes, go ahead.
You remember that after the first war in Iraq, the United Nations put a total embargo on Iraq. Nothing could be imported into Iraq. Not medicine, not food, not school books, nothing. And the idea was that this would force the Iraqi people to rise up against Saddam Hussein and get rid of him. But knowing Iraq like I did, I knew that a lot of the Iraqi people were very much in favor of Saddam Hussein. They liked him and what his government was doing for them. And also in that country, like in many others, marches on the palace are very short and you only survive one. So the people suffered, the people died. You may remember that thousands of Iraqi children died because of the contaminated water they had to drink, since the sewage treatment plants and the water purification plants weren't working and the children were ingesting contaminated water, seriously contaminated water. So the people that were suffering were the Iraqi people.
Which is always the case with sanctions. Isn't that at the end of the day? Sorry to interrupt you, but that is always the case. It is actually the people. It is not the elite that usually are going to suffer. And we're looking at North Korea right now. As you said earlier, it is cold there. They're trying to cut back now on the fuel. They're trying to squeeze them even more than they had been already. And obviously, once again, it's the pressure on the average person. What about that, Michael Springman? Is that what the United States want anyway? Is it targeting actually the average North Korean, or what's the overall goal?
Well, the overall goal is to crush North Korea, and if it makes the people more miserable than they are, if it kills people, if it makes them sick, if it prevents them from going to work, they're quite happy, because the idea is to take this small, weak country and shake it by the scruff of its neck, if you can use that kind of metaphor, and get it to conform to what American principles are. Throughout the 20th century, the United States of America invaded and attacked smaller, weaker countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, invading Panama, invading Haiti, invading the Dominican Republic. And they're doing this in the 21st century as well. I'm surprised the United States hasn't attacked the Vatican. But I think the appalling thing is that tomorrow is Christmas Day, where Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who promised a new religion of love and justice and equality. And yet we seem to be going in the opposite direction and following the religion of Satan, Ashaitan, and creating a horrible situation, and not only in Korea, but around the rest of the world, and in the Middle East. Look at Syria, look at Yemen. American soldiers are now engaged in the Saudi war against Yemen. So it's as long as the United States can get its way, as long as the United States can force other countries to buckle under to its will, that is the goal of the American government, whether it's Donald Trump, Barack Obama, the Bush family, or Bill Clinton, or anyone else.
All right, and you mentioned, let's just 30 seconds, let me give to Edward Peck. Your take on all this, where do you think this is going? How can we de-escalate the situation in the North Korean in the Korean Peninsula?
I think it's clear that my colleague and I are both what you would have to call pacifists in a sense.
Go ahead. I think you're having an echo, but you sound fine to us. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead, Edward Peck.
Go ahead. Because the United States, believing that it's doing good things, continues to do them even if the proof is there that they haven't been that terribly effective. So we're going to try again. I'm a diplomat, or I was a diplomat, and the idea is to talk to people to see if you can find some way of meeting the goals of the two sides.
Okay.
If you can do that, the world remains at peace and countries can get along. And if you cannot find a way, then it's time to carefully examine what it is that you're asking the other side to do.
Okay, all right. And Michael Springman, 20 seconds.
And try to find some
more peaceful way. So sorry, Edward Peck, we're just about out of time. Go ahead, Michael Springman, your take. 20 seconds, what does it take in your opinion?
Well, I think Ambassador Peck is correct. We have to sit down and talk with the North Koreans. We have to examine their interests and our interests and find a way of coordinating the two. I think that diplomacy by imperial diktat is insanity and is extremely counterproductive.
All right, and I'd like to take this time to thank both of you for being with us. Of course, this is Christmas Eve, and actually wishing both of you a very Merry Christmas. And thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. Thank you, Michael Springman, former U.S. diplomat in Saudi Arabia, and Mr. Edward Peck, former U.S. diplomat. And viewers, we also like to take this time to wish all of those who are celebrating Christmas a very Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for being with us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi. See you next time.